Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there and welcome to New Life Live. Really great day we have planned today. We've got Dr. Sherry Keffer in the studio. Hey, Sherry, how are you?
Hey, it's great to be with you. I'm here with my ranuncula.
The ranuncula are quite beautiful.
Aren't they? Yeah. I could see you painting them at some point, Steve.
I hope to. And if anybody wants to see the ranuncula, you could join us on our YouTube channel, New Life Live. But this is the first day of Mental Health Awareness Month that we're on radio. And so we thought we would find one of the finest examples of mental health out there. And so we have Dr. Gary Chapman on. And most of you know him from The Love Languages, this amazing book that really has opened the eyes and ears of so many people. But today we're going to be talking about a different book, a personal book, Life Lessons and Love Languages. And Gary, welcome. How are you doing today? Things all right with you? Well, I think Gary, I can see Gary, but I don't think he can hear me, so we'll work on that. And can you hear me now, Gary? Well, it's we'll
get him on. I'm sure life is really good. He's probably having breakfast with his wife. He got her coffee. There you go.
I don't have anything to plug my earbuds into the phone.
Oh, dear. Well, we can hear you now, and you probably just can't hear us. I don't know.
No, I can hear you.
Oh, good. Excellent. Well, let me ask you, and welcome. Thank you so much. This book is all about you and really the journey that you took to get to these love languages that have meant so much to so many people. And maybe you could just share right off the bat here. We've got to go to a break in just a second. But what do you think has been the biggest result of the love languages being out there and people identifying their love language to each other? What do you think has been the big result?
Well, I think the biggest thing has been that couples who were sincere and trying to make their marriage work, but things were just not going well, weren't connecting with each other, they didn't love with each other, and their differences got bigger. And I think eventually they were ready to give up. Many of them, in fact, they told me, we were thinking divorce until we read that book. And the lights came on, and they recognized how they had missed each other through the years, and consequently, they learned, they took the quiz, they learned each other's language, they started speaking it, and they said to me, you know, that book literally saved our marriage. So that's been the greatest reward for me.
I love that. Well, I tell you, for me, it was just great to identify. I have a love language, and it is touch. And you can talk to me all day long, and you can give me gifts and all that, but it is the touch that just resonates from head to toe with me. And I'm just grateful to have been able to identify that. One of the things, maybe the only thing, I've already said you're the finest example of mental health here on Mental Health Awareness Week, but we both went to Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and you've also gone to Moody Bible Institute, graduated from there, Wheaton College, Wake Forest, and done postgraduate work at the University of North Carolina in Duke. And it's all come down to an amazing life work that's changed people's lives. If you want to join us with Dr. Chapman, you can call us at 1-800-229-3000. When we come back, I want to start with what has been your biggest struggle, because most people listening to us have a struggle. What's been your biggest struggle, Dr. Chapman, and what have you done? We'll get to that right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. So glad you're with us here today on New Life. We'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and always privileged to have Dr. Gary Chapman on the program. He has a brand new book, and if you loved the five love languages, you'll love Life Lessons and Love Languages. And from really one of the most brilliant people on the planet, the subtitle is this: What I've Learned on My Unexpected Journey, or Journeys. And it really is a fascinating read. It gives you the story behind the story and the man behind the love languages. And we love having him on. And we don't love having a lot of people on because we don't have a lot of people on, but we love having him here. So, Gary, I mentioned this would be really helpful to our folks. Through life, could you tell us a really big struggle you had and what you did to overcome it? Because I think most of our folks that listen, they have struggles, and they're choosing things to overcome them with.
Well, you know, the biggest struggle that we had was the struggle in our marriage.
Hmm.
I mean, we were both Christians. You know, we prayed about getting married. We believed it was God's plan for us to get married. And 6 months later, I was thinking, I don't know, this is not working. You know,
yeah.
And all my positive feelings left me, and I had negative feelings.
Yeah.
And we ended up arguing with each other, and for long I was just thinking, and I was in seminary. I mean, I started in seminary 2 weeks after we got married, and I was just struggling, and eventually I finally said to God, I don't know what else to do. I mean, I really have tried everything I know. It's not working. She doesn't understand me. I don't understand her. Maybe that's why I have so much empathy for people mm-hmm. who are struggling, because I've been there. But I'll never forget the day I finally said to God, I don't know what else to do. And as soon as I said that, it came to my mind a visual image of Jesus on his knees washing the feet of the disciples.
There you go.
And I heard God say to me, that's the problem. You don't have the attitude of Christ toward your wife.
Hmm.
And I remember what Jesus said when he stood up. You know, he said to the disciples, I'm your leader, and in my kingdom, this is the way you lead. And I knew that was not my attitude. You know, my attitude was something like, look, I know how to have a good marriage. If you'll listen to me, we'll have one. You know? And she wouldn't listen to me, and I blamed her. But then I said, God, forgive me. With all of my study in theology, I'm missing the whole point. And I said, please give me the attitude of Christ toward my wife. In retrospect, it's the greatest prayer I ever prayed about my marriage, because God changed my heart and gave me a desire to serve her. And three questions, Steve, made this practical for me. When I was willing to ask these three questions, our marriage began to turn around. They're simple questions. The first one is, honey, what can I do to help you? Second question, what can I do to make your life easier? Third question, how could I be a better husband? When I was willing to ask those questions, she was willing to give me an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking back on it, because I knew nothing about love languages in those days, but looking back on it, she was telling me her love language, how to love her, her answers were. But when I started doing those things and responding to her and that with that attitude, it didn't happen overnight, but within 3 months, she started asking me those three questions.
Mm.
What can I do to help you?
Yeah.
How can I make your life easier? How can I be a better wife? And from that juncture on, we were moving in the right direction, because we were both trying to serve each other. Which leads me to say, Steve, I think I discovered one of the biggest keys in marriage is the attitude of serving each other.
Amen. Well, you know, I just did an article for a publication about in marriage, we sometimes us men like to use the term servant leader, and that's so tidy and everything. But if you look over in Ephesians 5, it's really man, die to yourself leadership. And it's not tidy and it's not fun, but it really is that's what Jesus did for us. He just put every benefit aside and got on the cross and died for us. And really, that's that attitude toward our wife. You just don't see that taught a lot, and you don't see it practiced a lot. It's just not tidy. It's not easy. It's really difficult to do. But, you know, it makes sense. It really just makes sense.
It does. And the couples that I've seen and the guys that I've seen, I'm sure you've seen, Steve, through the years, who really take that seriously, you know, that my role is to give my life for my wife like Christ gave his life for me. He takes that seriously. It'll work out in his life. And there are not many women that are going to walk away from a man who has that kind of attitude.
No,
most women
are
going to be drawn to a man who will serve her in that way.
Yeah. They'll feel safe, they'll feel loved, they'll feel seen. I mean, those three questions, Dr. Chapman, are profound because you have to lay things down, right? I just think about some of the challenges that are part of our day and age, you know, pornography and just the internet and how, you know, gaming. It just, there's so many things to take people away from people and to fill those places that were really meant to be filled with Christ and our partners.
I think you're exactly right, and it's unfortunate that so many men think they have to turn to those kind of things to find satisfaction in life. And really, we know life's greatest satisfaction is in our relationship with God, but that affects everything else, and it affects mm-hmm. the way we treat our spouse. And when we are there for each other, and we both are depending on God, I mean, marriage becomes what God intended it to be, you know, a loving, supportive, caring relationship, so that the two of you can then really, individually and together, turn and bless the world with the abilities God has given you. Imagine what would happen if every Christian marriage was that kind of marriage. I mean, we would be infecting the world with
absolutely.
Love and pointing people to the source of that love.
So right.
Well, speaking of pointing people toward love and the source of love, let's go to our phones. Let's talk to Denny, Overland Park, Kansas, and listens on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 131 at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, how are you today, Denny?
I am wonderful, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help?
My question is, I would like some advice on how to advise who I affectionately call my church daughter on, I believe she's making a mistake about getting ready to be married to a person who I believe is a narcissist, who's gaslighting her, and who has a super explosive temper, almost a Jekyll and Hyde personality.
Hmm.
I don't know if you want any background or not.
Well, quick question. Why do you call her your church daughter? What's the relationship there?
She's a single mother. She asked me for help one day through my pastor to help fix some repairs at her house. I'm 69. She's 41.
Okay.
So we've kind of adopted one another. She has no family nearby, and it's just, you know, Jesus says, I'll give you children. I'll give you mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters. She has two little boys, and she's a single mom, and I just, you know, we just...
Okay.
We celebrate birthdays, and...
That's wonderful. Now, let me ask you this. How do you know, or why do you think that person is a narcissist? And then I'll turn it over to Sherry and Dr. Chapman. But why do you think he's a narcissist and texting other people?
Well, he's texting an old girlfriend 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
How do you know that?
He's having an emotional... It's what she's related to me.
Okay.
She's told me this while she's been with him.
Oh,
and he secretly invited his ex-girlfriend to their wedding. She went to go see him on spring break. They got in an argument over if they could leave the porch light on or not. He told her to pack her belongings, blank book belongings, and leave when she was in Tennessee visiting him on spring break. He called her childish for being upset that he invited this ex-girlfriend, sent her an invitation to their wedding.
Okay, so I think Denny, I want to give you some help here. I think we got the picture. I think what we're going for here is there any hope of us giving you some help and how to help her not move forward? And of course, anybody that's marrying from a state of desperation that really becomes troublesome. But let's start with you, Dr. Chapman. This is not tidy. This is not what we think about when we think about people getting married. What's your reaction to this?
I think in terms of what he can do, which I think is what he's asking,
mm-hmm.
I would say that one of the most powerful things he can do is to encourage her to go for premarital counseling, to a trusted pastor or a trusted counselor, because a pastor and a counselor, the two of them, would figure out some of this. It would be shared, and that pastor can help her. He may not be in the best position to preach to her and mm-hmm. tell her, what she should do. It's okay for him to share his ideas, but if he can encourage her to get premarital counseling and to read a book on marriage, I wrote a book several years ago called Things I Wish I'd Known Before We Got Married. Just reading through a book like that would be extremely helpful for her, because it will deal with these issues. Things you're going to be looking for is red flags along the way.
Yep.
But I think if the best thing would be for her and him to get premarital counseling.
Sherry, you have a thought here? I've got one, and that might be helpful. What are you thinking?
Denny, I just, it makes me wonder how she holds you in this position as her protector. But she's exposing herself to a man where she's very unprotected. Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder about her past. It makes me wonder if she didn't have a dad and or grew up in a very chaotic, abusive home. And here you are trying to step in to guard her heart, but she's not hearing you. I love what Dr. Chapman said. I high five that idea. I think it's brilliant. The other thing that I feel like she's missing are females like myself that are wise sages that have their own histories that can female speak with her as well. Are you married? Are there friends that she has in her world that you know that are also reaching out to her with you?
Anybody else?
Go ahead. She has a good friend, and I've gotten books from New Life Live. I've been a supporter to help encourage her. They are in premarital counseling. She's a Christian like I. My church provides female counselors, and I've encouraged her to try to reach out to them.
But she's not, right?
They're doing it on Zoom through a different agency.
Okay.
But I said that's good, but I said I fear for your safety. I think he's one step from physically abusing you.
Right.
Yeah. So here's what I would be sure of, and I doubt it, that she's being honest with the person doing the premarital, because most people that I know, they wouldn't want the premarital to continue. They would be saying to her, if they knew that he was doing some of this stuff, you really need to find a way to rethink this. But maybe your best shot is this, not to tell her not to marry this guy, but to encourage her to take a break. Maybe he could live with that, and maybe she could. That if she would take a break, you would be hoping and praying that he could make some different kinds of decisions about his commitment level to her, things like that. But I think once she took the break, she could become a little more objective about what's going on here. The other thing is, if you know any women in that church that could come alongside her, encourage them to reach out to her. Like Sherry's saying, she needs women.
And you know what? You made me think of something, Steve. You inspired my thought. Denny, why don't you join her in a couple of counseling sessions? It's so weird. As therapists, it's true. We only work with what comes in the room. And so she could be enamored with him, and, that therapist might not be getting the whole story, but imagine what it would be like if you were to join her and you were to love her well. You were to care for her and protect her with your honesty And then the therapist has that to work with her.
Yeah, I'm really glad that she has you in her life.
I said, I think she says, I think God is telling me this. I said, I believe God's telling you run the other way, like Joseph.
No kidding.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. And before we go to the next caller, Dr. Gary Chapman is on the book. It's a great one. It's Life Lessons and Love Languages, What I've Learned on My Unexpected Journey. And it's really a great book, and it's kind of the inside track here on his life. It's a great blessing, and you can get it. We'll get it to you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You told us those three questions about marriage. I want to just take a second. A lot of people are raising kids, and they're having trouble. What are a couple of lessons you've learned over the years about raising kids that could help our listeners today?
Well, you know, we often think about the parents' influence on the children, and we certainly do influence our children, no question about that. But we're also influenced by our children.
Yeah.
And I talk about that in the book. It's ask yourself, what can I learn from my children? I remember, for example, I learned a huge lesson about anger from my son. He and I got into an argument. He was a teenager, okay? Many parents can identify with this. I'm yelling at him, and he's yelling at me. And he walks out of the room and slams the door. And I am saying, oh, I thought I was further along than this. And I start asking myself, why is my son yelling at me? The answer was pretty clear. He learned it from me. We yell at them. They learn to yell at us, you know?
Yeah.
So when he came back in after he walked, I said, Derek, son, I need to apologize to you. And I just poured my heart out to him. I said, no father should ever talk to a son the way I'm talking to you. And I said, I said some horrible things to you, and that's not the way I feel about you. I love you. And I just feel so badly about what I did. And I want to ask you to please forgive me. And he said, Dad, you didn't start that. He said, I started that.
Mm.
And he said, walking up the road, I asked God to forgive me. And I want to ask you to forgive me. And man, we hugged each other and we cried. And eventually I said, Derek, why don't you and I both try to learn how to talk our way through anger rather than yelling our way through anger? So the next time you're angry at me, just say, Dad, I'm angry. Can we talk? And I'll just sit down and listen to you. And you do the same to me. And I'll do the same to you when I'm angry. And that was a turning point, you know, it was a real turning point. And we both learned how to, when the other person's talking and sharing what they're angry about, listen to them and try to understand it and see it from their perspective rather than trying to tell them they shouldn't be angry. So, yeah, that was a huge thing.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, if parents can learn that there are times when we need to apologize to our children, but we don't set a good model for them, we need to acknowledge that. They know that what we did was wrong. But we apologize. We're, again, teaching them by our model how to apologize.
Right. Well, here's the thing I love, and that is that when he left and he's yelling at you, you stopped to ask yourself a question. And a lot of folks, they just keep moving, or they just make a declaration about the other person. But you say, wow, what is going on here? And that began leading to that asking for forgiveness, which, boy, that's a powerful tool for any parent. Let's go to Hannah, Portland, Oregon. She watches on YouTube. Hi, Hannah. You're on with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Gary Chapman. Steve Arterburn here. Glad you're with us. How could we help today?
Oh, hello. Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay. I am from South America. My husband is American. We met online. We've been married for 2 years, and we have a 7-month-old baby.
Okay.
When we were dating long distance, everything was perfect. We got on really well, especially because of our faith. And as we were planning to get married, we had plans to raise a godly family, have family devotionals, and how we would raise our children together. You know, we had all these beautiful dreams. This is my first marriage, it's his third. And he has two teenage children from his second marriage.
Okay, so tell us what's going on now. What's happening now, and how could we help you with it?
What is going on now? We've been separated since December after a long period of fighting. When my baby was 2 weeks old, my mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I wanted to go home to see my mother and take the baby with me.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't let me. He didn't let me because he said we were having a bad season, and he said I wasn't submissive enough. He says I'm not submissive enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see my mother without my baby because he didn't let me have the passport done for the baby.
Okay,
so
Hannah.
Was forced to go.
It's a very, very horrible situation. I want you to get to a question that we can help you with. I'd love to help you. What is the question for us?
The question is, I want to fight for my marriage. My church has been telling me to fight for my marriage. I don't know if this is the right thing to do because I don't know if there's hope. I don't know if there's hope for this marriage because we are not legally separated, we're not divorced, so I don't have any financial support from him. I'm forced to split the baby with him 50-50.
So what is the question for us then? What? How could we help you?
I don't know if I should stay in the marriage, if I should leave the marriage, if there is hope for the marriage.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about that here and think about that during this break. And when we come back, we'll try to give you some help. And I'm so sorry that this is the reality of your marriage. You're not alone. No question about that. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're on with Dr. Sherry Keffer and Dr. Gary Chapman, and I really want to encourage you to look at this new book, Life Lessons and Love Languages, because it's one thing to know the love languages, but Dr. Chapman talks about these three things that could change every marriage, three questions to be asking, and you see his insight into kids, and he talks about his own personal struggles and how he's come through them. It could really be a great help to you, Life Lessons and the Love Languages. Now, Dr. Chapman, you heard this call. Here is a man telling his wife what to do. He's saying she's not submissive enough. Keeps the baby, keeps the passport, all these things. It's so messy. It's such a far cry from anything that has anything to do with a Christian marriage, and yet they, at a distance, well, it seemed like they both were on the same page faith-wise. Is there anything you can think of that she could do to help this situation? She's wanting to know if she should walk out. What are you thinking?
Well, sis, I understood her to say they're separated already, not legally, but separated.
Right.
And she's also asking, is there hope? Should I give any effort to trying to save this marriage?
Mm-hmm.
I would say, first of all, there's always hope for two reasons. Number one, you're human. humans can make changes.
Yeah.
And number two, God is real. And if a person turns to God, God can give that person the power to change. But here's what I would say. Though you cannot change your husband, you can influence your husband.
Okay.
But I would say you going for counsel, if he will go with you, that would be ideal. The true of you need an outside voice speaking into the issue because he's grossly misunderstanding the whole thing of submission from what you described. And so I think if the two of you would go for counseling, that will give you the greatest hope because now you've got someone who works with people who are going through what you're going through. It's not super, not terribly uncommon what you're describing. And there can be answers, but he has to have an open heart and open mind, and as well as you. But if the two of you can get counseling, that would be ideal. But even if he will not go for some reason, I would say you go for counseling because you need someone to walk with you through this, whatever happens in the marriage, okay? And many times that counselor can help you see some of the moves and things you could do that might influence him. You can't control him. You can't make him change. But you can have an influence on him. But you need someone to be walking with you through that journey.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Chapman, I do. I want to lead on what you said. Dr. Chapman is so right, Hannah. You know, the Bible talks about mutual submitting, submitting one to another. So let me just take Dr. Chapman's book, a few of his love languages. This is what it would sound like if your husband was mutually submitting with you. He would say, hey, acts of service. You know what? Your mom has cancer. Oh my goodness, I am so sad for you. Of course I will let you go. And I know you're scared right now because you don't know how long she'll live. And I trust you with our daughter. I'm fine with you taking her. Right? Now, that would be acts of service. That would also be some words of affirmation. Words of affirmation would look like this, honey. I do trust you. I care about you, and I want you to know that I'm here for you. I believe in you. That's words of affirmation. Gifts would be paying your ticket to go. That would be a gift. So do you see how his book, if you will read it, it will shed light on whether or not your husband is changing or not? Because if he's not showing evidence of these kind of behaviors, right, like quality time, he's possessive. He's not letting you go, or it's not letting the baby go. That's the opposite of quality time. So it'll mm-hmm. help you. It'll guide you in what you're seeing and making sense of it all.
And let me just mention this. We have seen situations like yours, worse than yours, turn around at our marriage intensive. And Mylon and Kay and myself are going to be doing that in July. And I'm going to see if we can find a scholarship for the two of you where you could say to him, this is paid for. We can do this to try to take away any resistance that he might have. But I want to remind everybody that where it talks in Ephesians about a woman needing to submit, there are about 50 words about that, and then there are over 100 words to a man's need to die to himself, and that's right after the verse that says, submit yourself one to another. In Colossians, where it says for a wife to submit to her husband, right after that verse it says, and men, don't do anything harsh or unkind with a wife. So there's always balance there, always balance.
And you know, I want to say one more thing. I think sometimes with your church, and we are here to also fight for marriages, right? We love helping people that are stuck. But I think sometimes the idea of fighting for your marriage when you're being abused can be really confusing to somebody who's being hurt. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I hope that is helpful to you. I'm going to send you a copy of How We Love. That's what we do. That's what the workshop is based on. I hope that's going to be helpful to you. Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio. Larry, how are we doing on our matching gift so far?
Steve, well, we're doing okay, but we need to do a little better. And I want to say first, forgive me, Dr. Chapman, but the opportunity for this matching gift has a time clock attached to it, so I just want to make sure we mention it here. We have $389,000 left to match. It started at $459,000. And I want to explain briefly, the money is here, it's in a bank account, but we can't touch it. The donors who gave it conditionally. They gave it and asked us to ask you, our listening audience, to give the same amount. We can release that money from that bank account as the donations are given. So $68,000 has been given so far, and that's been taken from the $459,000, so there's $389,000 left to go. It's kind of like what Rhonda and I did when our kids were growing up. We helped them open up a savings account, and we said, well, you make a deposit, and we'll match it, double that deposit. It's that same concept. Now, the most important thing about the matching gift, though, isn't that the matching element. It's the why to give. And being Mental Health Awareness Month this month, let me remind you of the why. New Life helps you experience transformation from addiction, depression, anxiety, grief, relational struggles, on and on. All sorts of mental illnesses. And we do that through this radio program, through finding a counselor, through one of our workshops, through life recovery groups. It's that, if that's not enough reason to give, we'll send you a copy of the book, You Are What You Think, by Dr. Dave Stoop. And if you haven't read any books by Dave, this is a great one to start with. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE. Go online to newlife.com. Text the word MATCH to 28950. That's the word MATCH to 28950. And thank you, everybody who has given and will give. And I'm grateful for that very much.
All right. We really need your help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry, for that. Let's go back to Dr. Chapman. Well, let's go back to the calls. And again, we're talking with Dr. Gary Chapman. Five Love Languages is his the amazing book and that whole series. But here is our life lessons in love languages. And it's about his personal experience, what he's learned on his journey. But let's talk with Sally from Savannah, Georgia. Hi, Sally. Welcome. And how can we help you today? Glad you called.
Hi, sir. Thank you. Yes, I was calling to kind of pose a question that stems from the last caller you just had. If you're in a situation where you and your spouse have made the decision to attempt to reconcile and you are now attending counseling, yet in the counseling sessions we're in front of the accountability Christian mentor couple or whoever you want to say that you're seeing with, If that spouse continues to hide his behavior, not be held accountable for his behavior, be unwilling to admit to the behaviors that go on outside that room, what can you do in that situation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can go on if you'd like.
No, I get it. You're in a counseling situation, very common, and you're trying to reconcile, but you can't reconcile where there's dishonesty and misrepresentation, so you need a way to intervene in that situation. Sherry, let's start with you. What would you advise in a situation like this?
Do you know what, Sally, I got to tell you this. John Wayne, one of my favorite quotes that he says, is he said, courage is being scared to death and saddling up anyway. And so what I think is one of the most courageous things that we can do in a situation like that, and you know, Sally, I had to do it myself because I too had a marriage that there was a lot of behaviors going on. And, you know, there's self-protection, right? Your husband comes in, he wants to look like he's doing okay. But it's your voice. You have to be brave. You have to bring into the room what is you're struggling with if he's not. Because if you don't bring it in, you can't even begin to do the work of healing.
And we'll hear from Dr. Chapman on this right after this. His brand new book, you can get it from us, Life Lessons in Love Languages.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're so privileged to have as our guest Dr. Gary Chapman. Dr. Chapman, you heard Sally. Any advice you have for her as to how to make this reconciliation work and turn this thing around where he's not being honest?
I think the biggest thing is what Sherry said earlier, and that is she has to be honest and open in the counseling session. Yeah. Don't think about I'm going to hurt his feelings or he's going to get angry or he's going to be upset when we get through with this if I tell the truth. No, mm-hmm. you tell the truth. You tell what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. The counselor can then move to him and let him have a response and hear him. And but you can't deal with things until they're out in the open. And yeah. if he's not going to be open about it, you certainly need to be open about it. And if you do, you're more far more likely to find real help.
All right. I hope that that's helpful to you there, Sally. And I'm going to get a copy of Dr. Chapman's book to you. One final question for you, Dr. Chapman, then we'll go to another phone call. But when you wrote Life Lessons in Love Languages, what were you hoping was going to happen in the heart of somebody that reads this book?
Yeah, two things. One, I was hoping for older adults, of which mm-hmm. I am one, that they would think in terms of sharing some of their journey, whether it's written or whether it's recorded, so that your children and grandchildren can have a look at your life, because your life can go on beyond, you know, living here on earth. And so whether it's published or not, I want to challenge you. Then I want also, I'm hoping that younger couples, individuals, singles, whatever, who read the book, will not only learn things from the lessons I've learned, but they will also reach out to the older adults in their life and ask questions. How did you handle this when you were my age? Or did you ever face anything like this? There's a lot of wisdom just sitting right around us. And if we would just begin to ask questions of people, we could learn a lot. So I'm hoping that's going to be a byproduct of it, as well as seeing some of my failures and struggles and identifying with those and learning lessons yourself, and maybe also trying to emulate certain things that you see, either how I handle struggles or things that were very positive in my life. So my whole hope is in sharing my own heart and my own journey is to encourage other people to follow God and trust Him, even when you don't understand what is happening in your life at the present time.
That's so good, and I really want to encourage what you're saying here. If you have people in your life and they're not receptive to listen to some of the things you've learned, write it down, because one day they will really be grateful that you did write it down, whether it's ever published or not. Final caller, we're going to go to Patty from Columbia, South Carolina. She watches on YouTube. Before we go to her, I just want to remind everybody, if you want a copy of this book, you can get it. Just call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and ask for Life Lessons in Love Languages. We don't carry every book that comes along, but this is a really good one. And, of course, we really respect Dr. Chapman greatly here. But let's go to Patty. You're our final caller, and how can we help you today?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I'll get right to the question.
Okay.
I'd like a closer relationship with my daughter-in-law. And I remember someone on your program making a statement, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically I'm trying to remember it as something like asking someone, you know, how do you feel in my presence? And I'm kind of on my own journey. I'm a recovering codependent, and I've been trying to deal with the uncomfortable things in life, you know, to just I'm at that age where it's like, okay, you know what? You can do this. And you guys have helped me so much. So that's the question.
Okay. Well, it seems I don't know, it seems like it could go the wrong way. I don't know. Maybe I'm not hearing this correct. Dr. Chapman, what do you think about the advice she's been given is ask the person, how do you feel in my presence? And this is asking a daughter-in-law that, hoping to grow closer.
Well, you know, that could go well, or it could have a negative response to it.
Yeah.
I think I would preface anything you do by asking your son his idea, his understanding of how his wife perceives you and what she might be finding troublesome with you. Because he probably knows. I mean, she's probably told him. And he's your son.
Yeah.
He could probably open up to you
privately
and tell you those things. Then you could begin to address those things. Because she has a perception of you, negative or positive, and there are reasons why. And there are things that you could do or not do that would likely make her perception better. So I would start there. Rather than just starting by asking her, how do you feel in my presence?
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a very wise approach. Sherry, you have something you
I have one thought, and this is coming from a recovering codependent. So I think it, with us, we often want to fix. We're trying to make something that isn't working, right? And so I have my beautiful vernacular sitting here today, and I'm thinking about you, and I'm thinking about me, and if I were to go in and see this flower and just go, well, it just, I need to kind of trim here and trim there, and I got to pull this off, and, you know, I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to make it better. Instead of doing what Dr. Chapman has invited us today, can you imagine taking his list of love languages, right? Can you imagine what it would look like to notice your daughter-in-law? And just give her a word of affirmation, not focusing in.
I've worked on that.
Okay. And what's happening? Are you there?
So, yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I have worked on that and tried to make it such that, you know, I don't just pay attention to her, the things that she does, but who she is.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this: if there's any agenda on wanting to get close to her, to influence her behavior in any way, that's probably not going to go well. But when we put aside our agendas and just want to connect with a person and have our lives enriched by knowing them and maybe also they enjoy our presence, I think that can go really,
really well. Yeah, it's enjoying them. It's honoring them. Mm-hmm. It's treasuring them. It's looking at all that they are bringing. I love what you said, Steve, because people can feel if we're trying to fix.
That's right. Now, we're almost out of time. I want to ask Dr. Chapman one final question here. And again, life lessons in love languages, what I've learned on my unexpected journey. I'm a teaching pastor in addition to all this, and you've been an associate pastor for 50 years. Can you give us a little snippet of something you've learned from that experience on your journey?
I've learned in my 50 years on the same church staff, incidentally, Steve,
which
is quite unusual.
So, yeah.
But I've learned that if you will ask people questions, whether it's in the lobby of the church or anywhere you encounter them, ask them questions about themselves, not just how are you doing, you know, fine, how are you, but, I mean, probe a little bit to ask questions what's really going on in their lives. People will open up to someone that they believe has an interest in them. And when you do, you have opportunities to serve other people, really at almost any juncture throughout life, in any setting. It can be at a sports event, it can be at a church, it can be anywhere. But people are dying for someone who really is interested in their well-being. Mm. And when we exhibit that, which is what Christ did, you know, he went about doing good. He had an ear to listen to people. And when we do that, we're going to reach our potential in terms of serving other people in the name of Jesus.
Well, I can't thank you enough. You're always welcome here. Dr. Keffer is also Dr. Insight, and she just thinks you're one of the best. So do I. If you need a copy of this, call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE for Life Lessons in Love Languages. We've got Every Man's Battle coming up June 12th and our Restore June 25th, Intimacy in Marriage July 23. Maybe there's a counselor in your area you need. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the
number. Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.